To get an idea of just how thirsty we're getting for oil and gas, a good place to start is the cul-de-sac where Shane Davis lives in the northern Front Range town of Firestone.
Well, it's crazy. I mean, when you see these derricks that shoot up 150 feet in the air, they light up like a giant Christmas tree at nighttime.
From his house, Davis looks out on a tan-colored well and a pair of storage tanks, less than a football field's length from his and his neighbor's tract homes that were built in the 90s on land that used to be prairie.
This is the produced water truck right here.
Nearby, one well lies about a dozen yards from an empty playground. Another is on land surrounding a school, a King Soopers grocery store, and even a small hospital.
Oh, the irony. You know, we've got residential areas, and yet we've got, you know, 25 signs that say danger or toxic chemicals or highly explosive.
Not an uncommon sight in Colorado and other energy-rich states these days, as new technologies like horizontal drilling are allowing companies to bore underneath homes and whole towns. For the past 2 years in Colorado, the drill rigs have been on a steady march from the rural western slope of the Rockies to the eastern plains, where 80% of the state's population lives.
I've seen that darn rig number 5 around here a lot lately. It was over by my house last week.
Brad Skoll is the city of Longmont's chief planner. On the edge of town, he stands next to a rig that's drilling around the clock in a field surrounded by homes and a busy highway.
It's coming on fast.
Now, state law is murky when it comes to whether or not municipalities like Longmont can stop drilling from within their boundaries. Skoll says they can only mitigate it as best as they can. Which is what officials are hoping to do here on the banks of the city's Union Reservoir. It's a popular recreation site and local irrigation source. It's also where a company has applied to drill for oil on city-owned open space near its banks.
So it really becomes a matter of artful negotiation.
Artful negotiation for some, consternation for others. Many counties up and down the Front Range are bracing for the boom by beefing up local zoning regulations, one even banned drilling temporarily. Still, many are embracing all this new tax revenue.
This really is the epicenter of the newest oil and gas boom in the Rocky Mountain region.
Booming Weld County now has more producing wells than any other in the country. 17,000, in fact, says Commissioner Sean Conway. And oil and gas revenues now fund half of the county's budget.
It is going to provide, at a very challenging time for local and state governments, a new source of revenue that will allow them maybe to do some things that they wanted to do but just couldn't do because of the economic challenges.
Conway says drilling can peacefully coexist with other development if done right. It may be easier for him to say that in Weld County. After all, oil and gas drilling has been going on there for decades.
The oil drilling is so brand new for this area. Who would have ever thunk?
South of Denver, in Douglas County, Joelle Lamb certainly didn't when she retired from her job as a state environmental regulator and moved to the Ponderosa Hills subdivision.
Do you have enough room? Everybody comfortable?
So last year, when the landmen came knocking on Lamb and her neighbor's doors and speculators started buying up lease after lease, she started organizing, driving door to door in her Subaru, trying to educate homeowners about what's coming.
We're feeling a little powerless right now. We hope to be the mouse that roared.
Some of the land in and around these neighborhoods has already been leased, and with private mineral holdings that date back long before these homes were built, Lamb concedes drilling may be inevitable. But she says the state doesn't have to allow it so close to homes and businesses. Right now, most setback rules stipulate there has to be a 150-foot buffer between drilling and a structure, written literally so if a rig falls over, it doesn't land on someone's doorstep.
And as a retired state regulator, no matter what regulations you look at, they all have holes. This is a very big hole.
But it's not clear how much political traction such an effort will gain, especially since bruises are still healing from a bitter battle waged when state drilling rules were last tightened to protect wildlife and groundwater. That was in 2008. Tisha Schuler is president of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association.
Our companies have an understanding that it is more difficult to do business in Colorado, and we're willing to do that. But we think the rules are strong, and having the toughest rules in the nation is something that Coloradans can be proud of.
You talked about the 08 rewrite. Mm-hmm. Now, at that time, there were a lot of, I realize it was before you were the COCA president, but a lot of companies stood up and said, we'll leave the state if these rules pass. Well, the rules have passed. And you're here saying that they're coming back.
So, right, we do have companies coming back. I will say that the oil and gas industry has adapted very well to the 2008 rules.
Well, from Schuller's office in a high-rise in downtown Denver, there's a stunning view of the Front Range and Eastern Plains, where she says the Niobrara Formation holds big possibilities for this state's economy. But Schuller is also quick to say that her industry needs to be doing more to engage with and educate homeowners as drill rigs continue popping up in more and more neighborhoods. For KUNC, I'm Kirk Sigler.